Latinos make up nearly 20% of the population in the United States, but they remain underrepresented in front of and behind the cameras. It seems not much has changed over the years. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco has reported and produced a 5-part series for NPR that explores that subject, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, tell us a little about the stories that you'll be reporting.
Well, first, I want to say I've been reporting on this subject for decades, and I'm really excited to be able to focus NPR's lens with this series, Latinos in Hollywood. My first story is a tribute to some Latino legends, some of whom started out in the silent movie era. I went to Dolores Del Rio's mansion in Hollywood to talk about her legacy. She was a huge star in the early days of Hollywood, and so was her second cousin, Ramon Navarro. Both of them were cast in the movies to be so-called Latin lovers.
Mm. All right, let's hear a clip from that.
I love you as one adores sacred things.
That's Navarro in the 1931 film Mata Hari. The studios also used another trope for comedic effect, the hot-tempered, fast-talking, spicy, wildcat Latina.
Hello? Where's Newton Police Station?
Lupe Velez, here in the 1937 film High Flyers, was known as Lupe Tabasco Velez. She starred in no less than 8 Mexican Spitfire movies. Now, the story goes on to talk about some of those tropes, the stereotypes that were used back in the day, and they are still being used today. The old bandidos are now gangbangers. Cantina girls are now maids. And those wild Spitfires, well, you just have to think of Sofia Vergara.
So what else can you tell us about the depictions of Latinos in film?
You know, studies by the USC Annenberg Inclusion Initiative and by UCLA show that Latinos are still greatly underrepresented in starring roles, just 7%. And all these years later, there are still not that many opportunities in front of or behind the camera for Latino stories. Actor John Leguizamo has been talking about this for years. And in my story, we hear something he recently posted on Instagram.
They tell you to change a name, stay out of the sun, that only white Latinos or white passing Latinos will get jobs. I mean, I've been told so many times, we can't have 2 Latin people in the movie, otherwise people think it's a Latin movie, and you know how, whatever.
Gosh, these are such compelling stories. What else will you be telling us in your series?
Well, I'm talking about the contributions of Latino film composers like Germaine Franco, who worked on Coco and Encanto. In another story, I talk about some powerful women, poderosas, actresses turned directors and producers who are shaking things up in Hollywood. In another story, I delve into the world of Latinx superheroes, including the upcoming Blue Beetle, and I touch on the Batgirl, Brouhaha. And I have a fun story about the making of Dracula in 1931, the Spanish language version. After Bela Lugosi and company finished shooting every day, a whole new cast and crew redid all the scenes on the same sets. And here's a clip with Lupita Tovar, the Mexican actress who starred in Dracula in Español.
Once you went into that set, it was a different world. You became under the spell of Dracula. You know, if anybody will touch me, I think I would scream. I was frightened. I really felt a scare of Dracula, you know?
People say the Spanish version of Dracula was better than the one in English. Anyway, that's a taste of what you'll hear in the series.
Ah, we look forward to it. Mandalit Del Barco is a correspondent on NPR's Culture Desk, and you can hear her series on NPR all month. Mandalit, thank you so much.
Thank you.